Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Tuesday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in the Stand in the Gap Radio Network. We count it a great privilege to be able to come your way today from the American Pastors Network, talking about the issues of the world, the issues of the nation. And along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl. And Sam, I want to go right to you off out of the chute here. There is so much going on in the world around us today. I'm not exactly sure where to start. But things are really beginning to explode, even more so than maybe we've seen in the past week or so over in the Middle East, with Turkey shooting down a Russian fighter jet. That is going to develop, I think, into something that is far beyond what we can even imagine at this particular point. However, I just heard Marco Rubio say that he does not really think that Vladimir Putin has the support of his people or the financial backing to be able to push this thing too much further. In other words, if there would be a war declared between Turkey and Russia, for instance, Marco Rubio thinks that Vladimir Putin would probably back down from that at this particular point. Now, I just heard that on the report 15 minutes ago. But anyway, I want to go to you. Please give your thoughts on what's taking place over there in the Middle East and what we can be anticipating as we go into the next days and weeks.
Well, Gary, okay, I'll be glad to do that. I mean, in essence, what's taking place is that with Turkey, who is a member of NATO, I mean, these are key points. Turkey is an alliance or a coalition member with NATO, shoots down a Russian fighter jet, and then secondarily a rescue helicopter. So there are two aircraft that are down. Russia says, we did not violate Turkish airspace. Turkey says, yes, you did. So now there is a conflict. Russia, Putin just right now just came back and called what was done there as a hostile act. So he is going to be making a speech to the world shortly. On what they are going and how they're going to handle it. However, it's not just now Turkey versus Russia. It's NATO versus the emerging coalition of nations from the East, which is Iran and Russia and Syria and China, that this morning just declared war on ISIS also. But China is already there in the Middle East with their warships on behalf of Russia, and they have the ability to basically not only to bankroll Russia, but they're in a military alliance. So when you mentioned Marco Rubio says, I don't think there's much going to happen there because Russia doesn't have the strength. Russia doesn't have to have the strength on its own because it's an economic alliance with these nations of the East. They already have their plan for a new currency. They've already been planning to dump the dollar. They've already been setting up their own mechanism to compete with the West. This is not an event that has occurred just on the spur of the moment. This is a developing thing here, Gary. So I believe we need to stay tuned very, very closely because I believe we may be witnessing, in fact, those kinds of events that are going to trigger an engagement. Up to this point, it's all been about ISIS, but there's a definition of terms. The United States and the West, which have really been cooperating with ISIS in some degree, and that's been fully out there. I'll put it out there. So they've been cooperating with them, using them and al-Qaeda as mercenary proxy forces on the ground to throw Assad out of office and to destabilize the Middle East. Russia has come and said, we will fight ISIS and destroy them because there's no difference between a moderate and a jihadist rebel group. And so he says a terrorist is a terrorist is a terrorist. He's in there to take them all out. The problem is, because we are assisting with ISIS, and which is why the president says we ultimately will degrade them, but our goal is the removal of Assad, and ISIS is the tool to get rid of Assad. Ultimately, Russia, therefore, is opposing the Western world, who's using ISIS as its mercenaries. And when China says we're going to declare war against ISIS, it's actually saying we're going to declare war against those who are also assisting in any degree with ISIS, which is why the escalation here is much bigger than what Marco Rubio said, or I think is what we're seeing at this point. But this is a big deal.
Well, it is a big deal. And even as we speak in Washington, D.C., President Hollande of France is meeting with President Obama. David, what do you think is going to come out of that? I mean, are they going to come out with a stronger offense towards ISIS to try to wipe them out? I mean, what do you suspect is going to come out from that?
Well, Gary, already the president has verbalized exactly what you just said. He came out and said, you know, that we are at one with France, you know, that they were not only attacked, but they are our enemy as well, and they must be, destroyed out of hand. So the president is already verbalizing, you know, language that would indicate that, yes, this is going to be a coalition between us and France. It's going to bring down ISIS. But, Gary, what's so amazing about this is this whole press conference is being preempted. Everybody's attention is on what's happening over with this Turkey having shot down a Russian military jet. So Gary, really, it's again our president appearing incredibly weak while verbalizing words of strength, which that's what he's good at. He talks a good game, but ends up doing nothing of substance.
So, Sam, what do you think we can expect that's going to take place in the next couple of days, perhaps? I mean, this thing could really accelerate even between now and Thanksgiving or between now and the weekend. I mean, we could potentially see a full-fledged war within the next week.
Well, Gary, I mean, the fact of the matter is, in all reality, we have been at war, but
right.
a proxy war, okay?
Right.
We have been involved in cyber warfare. The
right.
U.S. and China, we know that. The U.S. and Russia, we know that. It's been different aspects of warfare, but the essential elements are the same. Take down the enemy. We're the enemy of Russia and China. That's what they're trying to. So now it's escalated with the taking down physically of the Russian jet. It's now moved into that hard aspect of warfare itself. But the problem, like I said, with NATO, I mean with Turkey, is that it involves NATO. So right now the Allied commanders are meeting in what they term extraordinary meeting. Now my guess is the extraordinary meeting is, how do we respond with being one of our members being attacked by an enemy, Russia? Because now it puts into engagement different levels of treaty arrangements. It's now a whole different ball game when that happens. So while the Allied commanders meet on how to handle this, because NATO initiated, they're going to have to frame it somehow. Putin is now going to have to say, "Well, I'm going to roll over. I'm going to ignore it," or Putin will make the next step militarily. One or the other.
Well, it's just very interesting to watch everything that's developing there. You know, we just need to pray for the world. We need to pray for God's wisdom and direction, as our leaders get together to discuss these matters. But ladies and gentlemen, things are beginning to develop, in my opinion, towards a third world war that could also lead us into what we refer to as the Gog and Magog battle in Ezekiel 38-39. My thoughts. We'll be back with more right after this, so don't go away.
Tax laws are changing. Do you know how to navigate these changes so you don't pay more taxes than needed? These are very confusing times for tax planning and preparation. Don't wait until April. Do your tax planning now before the end of the calendar year while changes can still be made. This is Mark Magruder, an enrolled agent, tax advisor, and wealth manager at the Life Financial Group, a wealth management firm specializing in helping successful Christian families make wise financial decisions so they can better provide for their families, plan for retirement, and fund kingdom ministries. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "It is required of stewards that they be found faithful." If you'd like to work with someone of like faith in the areas of taxes, investments, investments, insurance, retirement, or discuss Social Security and estate planning, give me a call to set up a comprehensive financial review at no cost to you. Call me today, 1-800-688-5800. That's 800-688-5800. Or visit us online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
He was sentenced to be a galley slave on a French ship, but after several grueling years, he escaped and came back to Scotland to preach. He confronted Mary, Queen of Scots, and so convincingly evangelized that by the year 1560, the Scottish Parliament established Presbyterianism as the national faith. His name was John Knox, and he died this day, November 24, 1572. One of his descendants was Reverend John Witherspoon, who signed the Declaration of Independence and was president of Princeton, teaching many of America's founders. John Knox stated, "A man with God is always in the majority."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today on how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we are delighted to have you there by the radio, and we would encourage you to continue to go to our website, Stand in the Gap Radio website, that is, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, because as I say almost every day, from that particular website, you can correspond with us, and we would encourage you to do that. But in addition to that, if you happen to be traveling away from your radio station, and you cannot pick up the signal, if you have a computer, why you can pick us up, because there's a link there to our anchor station, which is WFYL in the Philadelphia area. So that's at www.standinthegapradio.com. And so many things breaking, so many things taking place around us even as we speak. And, you know, it's just interesting to note that are we ready to go with this clip, Russ? Can we go with the clip that we have ready here? We have a clip. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have a clip that comes from Todd Starnes of Fox News, in which he speaks of the fact that President Obama is importing Muslims and at the same time deporting Christians. And I think this is a very, very serious thing to take into consideration. So, Russ, go ahead and play that for us, please, at this time, if you would.
Hey, everybody, I'm Todd Starnes. President Obama says banning Syrian refugees because of their religious beliefs is un-American. Those of us who fear that Islamic radicals might be lurking among the refugees have been called every name in the book, bigots, Islamophobes. But the cold, hard reality is the Protestants and Catholics and Jews aren't the ones beheading people. The president remains steadfast. The Muslims will come. He told reporters that we don't have religious tests to our compassion. But that's not exactly accurate. You see, last year, the Obama administration led a fierce legal battle against an evangelical Christian family from Germany, the Romeike family. They came to our nation legally so they could homeschool their children. Yet the administration fought tooth and nail to have them deported, only to change their minds at the last hour. And just a few months ago, a federal immigration judge ordered more than a dozen Iraqi Christians deported, allegedly for immigration fraud. So the next time President Obama wants to lecture the nation about religion, maybe he could explain why his administration is importing Muslims and deporting Christians. I'm Todd Starnes.
Wow. Wow. I mean, those are the facts, Sam. You know, I suppose that the question that we need to ask is what's needed to convince the American public that this president that we have is lopsided towards Islam? Do people in our United States of America who do not see that, are they wearing blinded glasses or something?
Gary, I believe many are. Many are. You know, we want to believe the best. We truly, truly want and have, well, we've been taught, we hope to believe that when we hear things from our leaders, those who are to represent the people, to defend the Constitution, when they stand up and they say something, we really do want to believe them. But the fact of the matter is, as Todd Starnes just said, what the president says and what he does are two totally different things. It's really, you know, the practical challenge, Gary and Dave, is that if we cannot believe our leaders, where does it place us as citizens? Where do we go for the truth? What do we do? What kind of, how does it affect the choices we make with our family if what we hear on the news and what we hear from our leaders is not really true? And Gary, I think that's what's driving a lot of the discussion about these Syrian refugees and why it's divided, because many want to say, believe him, it's true, let's have compassion. But on the other hand, what the president's doing is not what he's saying. He is imposing a religious test. Or even though he decries a religious test, he's doing it.
Dave, let me ask you something. I'm picking up there off of what Sam said. You know, we're talking about the fact that you know, when we as citizens get to the point that we cannot believe our leaders, then we don't know where we are. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. I mean, it just weakens the whole nation. And, you know, I'm 63 years of age. And, of course, I can go back to very clearly remembering the Eisenhower days and the Kennedy days and the Johnson days, but particularly the Johnson days. And during the Johnson days, there was a lot of skepticism out there. There was a lot of people saying, we can't believe what Johnson is saying relative to the Vietnam War. And, of course, it seems like from that particular point on, this has been a major question in the American public. Can we believe what is coming out of Harrisburg? Can we believe what is coming out of Tallahassee? Can we believe what is coming out of Washington, D.C.? That would be our state and our federal capitals. But with Barack Obama being in the White House and doing what he is doing today, do you see a different level of confusion relative to the truth between what we hear and see from Barack Obama in comparison to what we've seen in former administrations coming up to this point? If you understand my question, do we have a greater crisis for truth in the White House from the Capitol today than we ever have in the history of our nation?
Well, Gary, I think the answer to that is a resounding yes. And to follow up on what Sam said and the clip that we played by Todd Starnes, Gary, it's not just this family, this German family that was deported. Gary, you remember we referenced this, I think, maybe last week on the program, but you and I had a conversation with a college president out of Marietta, Ohio, whose foreign students were being deported because they were here as Christians from other countries, but they had come here to get an education in the Christian faith to go back to their respective countries of origin. Mm-hmm. To conduct missions and pastoral ministry. And then, Gary, in the midst of all of this discussion of refugees, there is a college, a Bible college, a small Bible college over in the Virginia Beach area that has suffered the same fate. Their students have been deported as well. So, Gary, here we have the President of the United States seemingly standing up in front of the American people as a paragon of virtue and honesty and compassion, wanting to accept refugees, and yet the only refugees he's interested in accepting are Muslim refugees, and even those that may have among them a significant number of ISIS entities trying to come into this country. So, Gary, yes, to answer your question, the deception, the lies, the deceit has been ratcheted up significantly under the Obama administration. And if I may say this before I turn it back over to you, Gary, one of the things the Bible describes about the Antichrist, and I'm not saying Obama is the Antichrist, that's not my point, but the
you
closer
keep saying
we get
that. I just want to remind you that you keep reminding us of that.
Well, Gary, my point is not that Obama is the Antichrist, but as we get closer to the end of time and the emergence of this quote-unquote end-time peacemaker who's going to be the consummate deceiver, there's going to be a ratcheting up of deception. And the Bible says Antichrist will have as a policy craft. And the word craft is the word that means deceit or deception. He will operate and elevate to a policy level deception and deceit. I think we're seeing the road paved for that very thing even as we speak.
You know, I agree with you 100% on that, and we're rapidly running out of time in this segment, and we might have to carry it over into the next segment. But, the president has said that it's un-American to impose a religious test on immigrants. And, in saying that, he is obviously pointing his finger at Article 6 of the United States Constitution, and what it says about imposing a religious test on would-be immigrants. Sam, when the president comes along and says that, we should not have any kind of a religious test on immigrants, does he have the Article 6 of the United States Constitution as a foundation upon which to stand?
Gary, no. And this is what the president has done on many occasions. That's not what the Constitution says, and that's not what Article 6 is all about. Article 6 is all about the fact that you cannot apply a religious test when it comes to those who are holding federal office. Has nothing to do with immigration. Has nothing to do with that kind of a selection process. So on one hand, the president cites a constitutional prohibition which does not exist in that context. And so he does impose a religious test, but it's his that favors Muslims over Christianity, which is what Todd Starnes was talking about. But he uses that same prohibition, which most people know, to actually work against those in Congress. Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush even, both of whom came out and said, we ought to make a selection difference. Christians persecuted, we ought to bring them in, but Muslims, we ought not. And he said, you can't do that because that's a violation. But he himself is doing it. This is deception.
I want to read for you, ladies and gentlemen, exactly what that Article 6 says, and it just says this: but no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. Only relates to those who are running for elected office. Think about that. We'll be back with more of Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network after this break, so please stay tuned.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. President Obama meeting with French President François Hollande at the White House about fighting terrorists like those who attacked Paris last month.
We're here today to declare that the United States and France stand united in total solidarity to deliver justice to these terrorists and those who sent them, and to defend our nations.
There's an emergency NATO meeting over Turkey shooting down a Russian military jet.
The Turks say they issued 10 warnings in a matter of 5 minutes. Two Turkish F-16s tracked the Russian Sukhoi 24. One Turkish warplane fired an AIM-9 Sidewinder heat-seeking missile, a weapon normally fired at close range. It was, quote, a direct hit, according to U.S. officials.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin at the Pentagon. A Syrian rebel commander claims both Russian pilots were shot and killed. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Singing freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gere with today's Family Update. There's pending legislation in Harrisburg that threatens religious liberty, putting at risk Christian schools, faith-based ministries, and even Christian-run businesses. The proposal is called the Fairness Act, but in truth what it would do is equate the biblical view of human sexuality, specifically in the area of marriage, as the same as racial bigotry. Christian schools would be severely restricted in hiring decisions and policies, and no longer be free to make those decisions based on scriptural perspectives on marriage. Professional licenses would be denied to people who refuse to agree that the union of two men or two women is the same as marriage between a man and a woman. School locker rooms and public restrooms will be forced to open to people of the opposite sex who identify otherwise. Bottom line, the bills are dangerous to religious liberty and tolerance. Take action by finding out more at our website at pafamily.org and going to our Citizen Action Center.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the American Pastors Network Stand in the Gap today. Along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl, and this is a very, very busy news day. A lot of things taking place all around us, even as we speak. And we've been talking about the Article 6 of the Constitution and as it relates to a religious test. And the particularly as it relates to immigration, because that's where it's being applied today, in the sense that our president has basically said that it's un-American to impose a religious test for immigrants, and he uses the Article 6 of the Constitution to stand upon to support his particular contention there. But this is what Article 6 says. I read it to you just before we went into the break. The very last phrase of the article says, "No religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States." And so we can see that it basically relates to those who are being elected into office, whether it is on the federal or on the state level, when you read the entire context of that particular article. But to make this even more clear and to really get down to what we're trying to talk about here and what we're trying to convey here today, Sam, and I just want to ask you the question very, very clearly, based upon what we see here, that that Article 6 says, can Congress or the President lawfully discriminate based on religion according to the Constitution as it relates to immigration?
The answer is yes, they can. So when Congress stands up, or when Senator Cruz stands up, or Jeb Bush, in this case, say that we can and we should, in fact, we can. Now, how that works out, we don't know. But it's not what the president says that it can't be done. And it's certainly not a matter of being should be done the way he is choosing to voluntarily, independently make that determination. So federal Article 6, only for those in federal public office.
But that always that also relates to the state in the context of the article, correct? Because it said the senators and representatives before mentioned and members of the several state legislatures and all executive and judicial offices, both the United States and of several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation, which that doesn't really mean too much to too many people today. They're bound by oath and affirmation to support the Constitution. But then it says no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office, and so forth and so on. So the fact of the matter is, it would apply, if you want to spread it out just a little bit, it would apply both to the federal and the state government.
Well, exactly correct. And as we talked about on this program the other day, the only part about immigration that the federal government was given constitutional authority over was the process of naturalization. The actual part of becoming a U.S. citizen, the actual part, determination of qualifications for immigrants, was actually something that was left to the states. And so when the federal government steps in and consolidates the entire process of immigration and naturalization, which is what it now has done, that was never really the constitutional authority to do that in the beginning. So we've been moving down a road that was different than what was originally established in the first place. But the fact of the matter is, if you get right down to it, is it appropriate to say to a would-be immigrant, and we talk about the Syrian thing, to say to them, to whom is your loyalty? Will you take a oath to support the laws of these United States of America, to support the Constitution of America, to not pursue an alternative form of law, Sharia law for Muslims? Is that at all inappropriate? No, not at all is that inappropriate. It is appropriate, and even then, that aspect is not even a religious test. That is actually a test relative to the laws that you are willing to follow. Ultimately, it comes back to an ideology, so you could say perhaps it's a religious test, but nonetheless, those kind of questions are legitimate to ask, and really the president, by downplaying what he's saying, is to downplay those distinctives. That's not in our interest.
You know, Dave, we talked about this a time or two in the past, but again, since we are in this context of immigration and the refugees and so forth and so on, when it really comes down to it, there's a big difference between immigration, a regular immigrant, and a refugee. There's a big difference between the two, correct?
Well, Gary, there is. There's a dramatic difference between the two. And if I could do this, Gary, and I, again, I've been listening to the conversation you've been having with Sam, and I know you're talking about Article 6 of the Constitution, but if I could share something that I think will bear shed some light on the discussion that we're having. Joseph Story, who has been called the father of American jurisprudence, made this statement talking about the First Amendment and religion and Christianity versus maybe other religions. He made this statement. He said the real objective of the First Amendment was not to countenance, much less to advance Mohammedism. We're talking about Islam. They called it Mohammedism or Judaism or infidelity. In other words, the First Amendment was not to advance Islam, Judaism, or infidelity by prostrating Christianity, but to exclude all rivalry among Christian sects, or another term would be Christian denominations. In other words, what Mr. Story was saying is this: it is a given that in the United States of America, we are founded upon Christian principles, or as some would say, we were a Christian nation. Christianity was the obviously preferred religion, and our documents were founded upon that. The First Amendment was not intended to protect Mohammedism or Islam. And so when you understand that, the acceptance of people into this country under the guise of being a refugee, if they are coming here to advance the cause of Islam, which our founders and even those in the 1800s, like Mr. Story, said the First Amendment was not designed to protect them, it's lunacy. It's absolute lunacy for anyone to advocate that they should be brought in here if they're attempting to advance something that is totally contrary to the Constitution of the United States. Sharia law is totally contrary to American jurisprudence. So this is lunacy, gentlemen, to purport that they should be allowed in here unchecked.
Well, you know, that's absolutely true. Of course, Sam, we've got people today in this country, as well as in various countries of the world, who would just be as content to break down all borders anyhow and just bring us all together into one. So why have these rules and regulations, you know, as it relates to immigration and refugees?
Well, Gary, you are correct. We have to understand that there has been a move for a long time that goes back prior to this President Obama, was actually back beyond, to erase borders between sovereign nations. I mean, back in the Bush days, there was an effort to put together the North American Union, if people remember, really to erase the Canadian-U.S. border and the Mexican border and to consider it all one trading economic component itself. And this was being done across the world. This president has taken and furthered that same concept and taken that into the Middle East and dislodged sitting sovereign leaders to try and break down the borders of what exists there. And, of course, George Soros, the billionaire 86-year-old, has been on this drumbeat for a long time of he has spent his billions to try and break down borders so that you end up having the need for a world government to step into, which is what the United Nations is all about, the New World Order is all about, which is what the Pope has been pushing hard for, as we've talked about so much. There is a big effort towards erasing these borders. And, of course, when you do that, why then discriminate against immigrants? We're all one big happy family, except in reality we know that that's not the case. It's division that is created when you take and throw everybody together in one pot, as they are trying to encourage.
So, Dave, is there a prophetic component in this?
Well, Gary, there is. There is definitely a prophetic component. Again, we've referred a lot of times with Jimmy DeYoung when he's on, and other times whenever he's not been on with us, we've talked a lot about the prophecies of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Gary, those nations are on the table. Turkey is mentioned there. Russia is mentioned there. And now this escalation that we're watching occur right before our very eyes, even as we're on air currently, all of that, Gary, is a further propelling forward of what could be the end time Gog-Magog war and the propulsion toward that. So, yes, Gary, there is a strong prophetic component to all of this.
Give us a word of encouragement, Sam.
Well, Gary, I think the word of encouragement is that understand that God's sovereign plan for the nation is underway. We happen to have the ability of knowing what Scripture says, what Dave just referred to. These are not days to be fearful, in my opinion. I am excited as can be to see God's sovereign plan work out, and we are a part and are witnessing it. We just need to stand up for truth and be as bold as we can be on the truth.
Perhaps the most exciting time to live in the history of the whole world, men. You know, I've thought about that over and over again. I really believe that it is. Well, stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a lot more here on the American Pastors Network Stand in the Gap for Today program. We will be back after these messages.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
This week we celebrate Thanksgiving, a wonderful time to be with family and friends. But in the midst of family, don't forget the essence of Thanksgiving. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. In the Old Testament, God often referred to the giving of thanks accompanied by willing sacrifice. Psalm 50 says giving thanks equates to paying our vows to God. Thanksgiving is literally a time of giving back to God what we owe Him, our praise and thanks for His goodness and mercy. Even in the midst of trouble and war, we should be grateful for all who God is. We can replace pride with humility and self-sufficiency with dependency on Him. We urge fathers to lead their families in looking to God, not government, and to look up and sacrifice, not around in covetousness. It may help to remember that the first pilgrim Thanksgiving was marked not with feasting, but fasting. They had it right. I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network, urging all of us to give God what we owe Him this Thanksgiving, our praise.
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania. Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PA Leadership Charter School. Lead, don't follow.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we trust that you all will have a great Thanksgiving. And, of course, in case any of you wonder or aren't sure, this is the time in which we are coming up on Thanksgiving in the year 2015. In 2 days from now, we will be celebrating Thanksgiving as a holiday here in the United States of America. And we just want to remind you that we have a very special program planned for you on that day. So as you go about your Thanksgiving holiday events, why, tune into the radio at the same time on this same radio station, and we will have a very special Thanksgiving program for you. But we have something that has been released by the New York Daily News, and that is the fact that just in time for the holidays, the State Department has issued a global travel alert to United States citizens warning of the increased likelihood, and that's the phraseology that's used, the increased likelihood of terror attacks by legions of terrorists, including the murderous Islamic State, of course. The tierce warning posted on the State Department website, and you can go there and see it, said that American travelers should use, quote, particular caution in the coming weeks down through February the 24th of 2016. It says, and I quote, current information suggests that ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, and other terrorist groups continue to plan terrorist attacks in multiple regions. That, of course, is from the State Department. And the possible attacks could include a wide variety of tactics targeting both official and private interests, according to the State Department. Now, this particular alert was sparked by concerns from authorities that members of ISIS who went to Syria and Iraq to train will now be returning to Europe and to the United States with a thirst for blood. The reentries could be timed to coincide with the busiest travel season of the year and large gatherings related to Christmas or Thanksgiving or even New Year's. And there are also warnings about what they're referring to as unaffiliated groups planning copycat attacks inspired by the recent coordinated attacks in Paris that killed 130 people and injured more than 350 others. The alert said, and I quote, extremists have targeted large sporting events, theaters, open markets, and aviation services. The State Department also warned, and I quote, United States citizens should exercise particular caution during the holiday season and at holiday festivals or events and so forth and so on. And so we just wanted to bring that to you, and we realize that many people will be traveling. We've heard various statistics saying that maybe more people will be traveling this particular Thanksgiving season here in the United States than in recent years. But The warning out there, Sam, is that the citizens of the United States of America must take extra precaution in what we do as we travel hither and yon. And even though, you know, we know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind, these are the kind of things that we need to take seriously. I mean, as we said before, we went off the out of the last segment or into the last break. We mentioned that these are exciting times in which to live. You talked about the sovereignty of God. But it still is significant that we be careful, we be cautious as we travel around, no matter where we're going, whether it's foreign or domestic.
Gary, no, that's exactly correct. And, you know, I know it's difficult for perhaps some of our listeners right now to say, oh, gentlemen, don't you have anything good to report? These things are not, frankly, easy to talk about. I don't take great satisfaction in these things, although our commitment here is to take the issues of the day, the things that are the highlights of the day, and try to put on them a constitutional biblical perspective. You know, we in the United States have been blessed beyond measure because we've not had to really consider the fact of what somebody may or may not do to us. We've been protected. God has given us a security. And we think about Thanksgiving. We ought to be thankful that God has really protected us in this nation. This is a blessing of God. But yet we go to the Middle East and we think of our friends in the nation of Israel. They live always in a state of readiness. Yet they go about their lives with great vigor and great vision. But they keep their eyes open. So it's not a problem, nor should it be a fearful thing to keep our eyes open. But it is a change, and we understand that. But these warnings that go out, you know, I listen to them. I think a lot of times we're talking about truth. I think a lot of these times these warnings and so forth are put out there to really help to make, you know, I don't know if it's a truthful statement as much as to keep people on edge. We should not be on edge, but we should be alert. That's nothing wrong with that.
I like that. We should not be on edge, but we should be alert. Even the Bible tells us to be vigilant, doesn't it? And you know, that's so true.
Sure.
in many, many ways. And, of course, Dave, you know, you were over in the Middle East not too long ago, and you're planning on going back in the very near future. What kind of lessons can we learn from them as it relates to the reality that things could happen, but still you go about your day-by-day living?
Well, Gary, you know, to be honest with you, the entire time we were in the Middle East, the time we were in Israel, I didn't feel the least bit threatened. And to put it in this kind of terminology, if you're going to be anywhere in the world, the place you ought to desire to be safe is in Israel, because they're used to handling these kind of things. You'd get on buses and there'd be 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old young people. Those are the ages that serve in the IDF or the Israeli Defense Force, and they're carrying with them automatic weapons in case something should happen. But, Gary, really, you just don't give it, you know, a second thought. I felt totally safe there. And I want to echo what Sam said. You know, we go about our business understanding that we are invincible until God is done with us. And if I could quote Psalm 121, verses 5 and following, which says this: "The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life." And so, Gary, what we do, Sam, what we do is we do what we do, trusting that God will take care of us, because He is our sword, He is our shield, He is our defense, and until He's done, there's nothing else going to take us out.
Amen. We are untouchable in the sovereign hand of God until God wants us to go home to be with Him. And, you know, that's absolutely correct. And so, you know, I realize that many of you may be unable to be with us tomorrow on the program. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Of course, don't forget the Thursday program if you do have the opportunity to listen. But as you travel, whether it's domestic or foreign, remember you're going in the power and the strength of Almighty God. He's the one who has said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, only Christians can claim that. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it would be our prayer that you call upon His name and be saved. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But for those of us who are saved, we know that wherever we go, God is there to protect us. As David said, Psalm 121, often referred to as the traveler's psalm by many people. So get it out and read it. And as you go about your day-by-day activities, depend upon God. Watch Him work as He strengthens you for your day. We want to thank you for being with us today. The Lord willing, we will be back with you tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of Stand in the Gap from the American Pastors Network. So please join us in about 23 hours. Until then, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, because we know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. we seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.